it's 10 minutes of crazy to make 10 minutes of beauty on the other side. And there's nothing else I'd rather do.
Welcome to Wear Who You Are, a podcast that takes the fear out of fashion and holds space for everyone to explore how to connect your authenticity with your personal style. I'm your host, Natalie Tincher, founder of BU Style, expert style strategist, and your enthusiastic friend and safe space of support. I believe that every person has a style and every style deserves a seat. With over a decade of experience working with hundreds of personal clients, I've learned a thing or two about how to help others have a healthy and holistic approach to navigating how to build a wardrobe that reflects who you are. So pull up your seat and let's get started. Welcome back to another Wear Who You Are Wednesday. So we just finished fashion weeks all over the world. And you know what? I know it's not for everyone, but it happens to be in the industry. It happens to be our Super Bowl. And when I moved to New York, just a little personal story, I dreamed of being able to be part of Fashion Week. The universe heard me pretty quickly. When I went to FIT, I was given the opportunity from one of my instructors who also owns a backstage dressing company. And I got to become a dresser backstage. And that meant that I got to dress a model. And I got to see the shows, see the collections up close and personal. It was such a cool opportunity for 26-year-old me just moving to New York. You know, I remember that first season, I met one of my dearest friends now, Faith, who I've talked about on here. And I worked with Man Repeller when she was still a stylist. I got to go to one of the first Prabal Grung shows when he was a new hot designer, just coming on the scene. And then I remember later that year, I had the honor of dressing models at an Oscar De La Renta show. Wow. And I remember seeing Oscar get in an elevator. And it was just like such a pinch me moment. And I still, when I think about those days, I think about the energy and the excitement that I had in that environment. And, you know, I know there's a lot of you who don't necessarily care about Fashion Week, and that's totally okay. That's why I'm here. That's why I care about it. But, you know, we had, if you ever saw The Devil Wears Prada, you would know that fashion still does have something to do with you, even if Fashion Week isn't your thing, high fashion isn't your thing. So I'm just going to indulge myself. And if you'll indulge me in going through just this little scene from The Devil Wears Prada. And it was when they were in a photo shoot, and it's Meryl Streep as Miranda Priestly and Anne Hathaway as Andy Sachs. So they're in this shoot and someone holds up two different belts and she's saying, oh, it's a tough call. They're so different. And Anne Hathaway, Andy snickers, and Miranda looks at her and says something funny. Andy says, no, no, nothing. You know, it's just both those belts look exactly the same to me. You know, I'm still learning about this stuff. And Miranda says, this stuff? Oh, okay. I see. You think this has nothing to do with you. You go to your closet and you select, I don't know, that lumpy blue sweater, for instance, because you're trying to tell the world that you take yourself too seriously to care about what you put on your back. But what you don't know is that that sweater is not just blue. It's not turquoise. It's not lapis. It's actually cerulean. And you're also blithely unaware of the fact that in 2002, Oscar de la Renta did a collection of cerulean gowns. And then I think it was Yves Saint Laurent, wasn't it, who showed cerulean military jackets. And then cerulean quickly showed up in the collections of 8 different designers. And then it filtered down through the department stores and then trickled down into some tragic casual corner where you, no doubt, fished it out of some clearance bin. However, that blue represents millions of dollars and countless jobs. And it's sort of comical how you think that you've made a choice that exempts you from the fashion industry when, in fact, you're wearing the sweater that was selected for you by the people in this room from a pile of stuff. So this movie came out 18 years ago, and a lot has changed in Fashion Week and fashion. Namely, it was much slower then with fewer major trends, but there is some relevance to this, that what trickles down into the stores comes from Fashion Week. Now, I want you to remember something about trends and what trend really is. It's now in this day and age in 2024, it's become a catch-all phrase in fashion. Whereas, and just a general aesthetic descriptor for anything, anything is a trend. But in the true definition of the word, trend is a general direction in which something is developing or changing. It's a longer-term big shift. So what we often see in fashion now on your TikToks, on Instagram, is a series of micro trends or fads. Those are intense and widely shared enthusiasm for something, especially something that is short-lived and without basis in the object's qualities. So what you commonly see as what we used to call fads is now repackaged as a micro trend. So the Good On You app puts it pretty concisely for me. It says micro trends take what you know about trends and accelerate the process. These trends rise to popularity quickly and then leave the trend cycle faster. While traditional fashion trends typically last a few years or longer, micro trends lifespans are shorter, with some lasting less than one season. So we're going to talk a little bit when we talk to our next guest, Sadia, about what things she saw on the runway that have been general overall trends, and then, you know, maybe some things that are micro trends. And the time I started Fashion Week that I just talked about was an ushering in of a lasting trend that we are still seeing now. So here's my really more kind Miranda Priestly moment. And that was when I first started in 2008. That was when streetwear first really came into high fashion. It was hot at New York Fashion Week, and New York really became the epicenter of fashion at this time. It was a really, really fun time to be working in Fashion Week, like I said. And a lot of the world was really looking here to New York as inspiration. This is when we saw hoodies, sneakers, denim, tracksuits, all of the great streetwear was going up and down the runways, and then it trickled down into stores. A lot of designers were getting inspired by what they saw on the streets and bringing it into fashion. So if you look at the world now, let's think about this. This was 15 years ago, and our eyes as a society were starting to adjust then of seeing streetwear every day, of seeing sneakers. And then let's fast forward to COVID, post-COVID-19 dress codes in your workplace. You know, when this 2008 time came, you couldn't really wear sneakers to the workplace. If you were in certain industries, you couldn't wear jeans. It was still really business formal dressing. Well, post-COVID, dress codes relax, and it was made palatable, I would say, and possible because we had had this shift in trends starting from 2008 anyway, that was making it feel like it was possible to wear sneakers, and that our eyes were adjusted collectively to this type of dress code. So that was it. That was my kind of Miranda Priestly moment that was hopefully much kinder. And it's just one anecdote for how Fashion Week has influenced the world we live in now. And we are going to talk about it more with my upcoming guest. So it's been a number of years since I worked backstage, and I wanted to bring in a reinforcement who is still much, very much in the world and in the game. And she also happens to be my friend. Her name is Sadia Seymour. Sadia is a graduate of FIT with an AAS and BFA in fashion design with a specialization in knitwear. After 7 years in domestic knitwear production, she transitioned to fashion styling in 1998. So with 20 plus years of experience under her belt, Sadia works in commercial print, advertising, editorial, catalog, e-commerce, runway, bridal, press previews, and is a mannequin expert. So she has, like, you know, just a little bit of experience. Currently, she is the CEO of Behind the Rack, a boutique fashion service company providing dressing teams for New York Fashion Week and other fashion events. Sadia has been an instructor for the Fashion Styling Certificate for the Center for Continuing and Professional Studies at FIT for 23 years and has been the lead instructor since 2016. So like I said, I used to work backstage with Sadia, and since then we've collaborated on multiple projects through, like, speaking things, educating things. We love to collaborate. And so this is just the next of many collaborations. So welcome to you, my friend, Sadia.
Happy to be here, Nat.
You look so fab as always, glowing and radiant and lovely. Looks like you are rested from Fashion Week.
I am now. It was a lot of fun. It's a lot of hard work, but it's fun work compared to what people are doing in the world. I'm having fun dressing up Barbie, so it was a really great time.
Right. I mean, I feel like the same way. It's so lucky sometimes when I'm tired and I just stop and I think about Natalie 10 years ago, even 15 years ago. And I always have to remind myself, like, you wanted to be in this position. This is what you dreamed of. And you're freaking lucky.
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
Totally. So we heard from your bio. So you are what we call a fashion stylist. So I want to kind of start from where you are in our conversation today, different titles, different roles and responsibilities, because a lot of people that listen to this podcast do not get this behind the curtain peek and behind the scenes look. So I like to demystify the curtain, pull it back, and teach them different terms and empower them to understand how the world works. So tell me, what is the difference between a fashion stylist and a personal stylist or image consulting?
Great, great, great question. Fashion styling, we work on the commercial side of styling. So all of the things that, you know, you don't see, from advertising to magazines, fashion events. Personal styling, or the old word image consulting, is working with individuals. So there is a science that personal stylists are taught: body shapes, colors, seasons, all those things. And you really work and drill down into your client. Where fashion styling, our goal is to dress the talent, whether it's a model or an actor, to look like what the client wants in order to sell. The whole goal of fashion styling is to sell something and to make money. The fashion is the added piece that is used in order to do that, or it may be the actual thing that we're trying to sell.
Okay. So fashion styling, what would you say are some of the skills, or the skills that you need to use the most in your work?
The biggest thing is pinning. We need to make clothes fit. In e-com and catalog, especially, we are given samples that are used from sales into out into their marketing. So it's usually a medium, and we have to fit the clothes on the girls. When we're talking about runway samples, they're a little bit smaller, like 0-2, but you still need to make things fit and make them look nice. We don't change the silhouettes of the garments. We keep it true to what the designer designed, but we make it fit. And when we do e-com and catalog, those girls are like a 4 or 6, and the actual sample might be a 6 or an 8. So pinning is the biggest thing. Fit is most important. You can make things smaller, but you can't make things bigger.
So what do you do now? I mean, do they account for inclusivity and sizing in garment samples now? Because I've noticed on a lot of e-com sites, you can view the clothes on different sizes of models. So it could be fuller figured, it could be petite. Do they account for that in your shoots?
Not every brand. If they do larger sizes, they will shoot it on a regular size model and a plus size model, but not all brands do it all the time. Because it's cost, right? You have to bring in 2 models, 2 sets of samples. Or they'll do it where it's just a static shot on a fuller size model and just do a front view. But there's a lot more inclusivity, especially in runway too. There's a lot more, which is really cool to see: ethnicities, body sizes. You have your plus size mixed with your regular size models. Even the height differences. There are girls who aren't that tall, but they have a look. So maybe they're 5'7", maybe they're 5'8", but they use them as well. So it's kind of cool. Like, there is a change. It's not a great change, but there's a change nonetheless.
Progress, right? Progress over perfection. And I noticed this last fashion week, which we'll get to what you saw, that there was more age inclusivity, it seemed.
Yes.
This last one.
It's cool to see some of the more established models come back, the supermodels, older models who may have modeled in their younger days, but they still are gorgeous and popping in their older senior years. And they are a representation of what the designer wants as well. Giselle, Veronica Webb, Beverly Johnson, those ladies, they still come back. Cindy Crawford comes back every once in a while. Naomi ain't going nowhere, so she'll stay there. It's great to see
that. Oh my God, she's amazing.
And she's remarkable. She's Gemini though, so she's great. Gemini girl. So, you know, it's great to see that because that means that the designers haven't forgotten about us Gen X people. And they still want to sell to us because, you know, we have the money.
Right. Exactly. Especially in a world of fast fashion where a lot of the younger generation is, you know, not investing as much in the lifetime of a wardrobe. So in terms of the skills that you use, so we talked about what you use, what would you say are some of the tools that then our listeners could use in their own everyday putting on clothes? Like what are some of the top tools or things in your kit that you would recommend that they use and how they would use it?
I think the first thing is really not even a tool, it's a mindset. Like stop looking at the sizes, put something on that fits. No one will ever see the size of your garment until you take the clothes off. And if you don't want people to know what size it is, cut it out. It's just that simple.
Preach. I'll interrupt. I have a whole podcast episode on how sizing is bullshit.
And I come from production.
Really are no standards.
And I know sizing is bullshit. So
you see it.
Yes.
So we have an insider telling us she sees that
yes.
You hold up a pair of pants that's the same size and there could be multiple inches of difference.
Yes, yes. So I think that's the first thing. Try on things from different brands and just make sure that it fits. I think tailoring is important on your higher quality clothes. I don't think it's necessary to tailor on your fast fashion. Just try it on until it fits. But there is some fast fashion that has a little bit of quality to it. Some of the things they have, like their basics, might be a better quality than the more seasonal items. But something as simple as hemming your pants, taking it in at the waist makes a world of difference. And if it doesn't work for you, let it go. Every fashion trend, every style is not for your body type. And you just kind of have to let it go sometimes. And you should feel comfortable. If you don't have to redo your whole wardrobe with new fashion trends, you could pick pieces to add to it. Look through your closet. You might have something that's similar. Or pick up accessories. Accessories are a great inexpensive trend. A new color, a new shoe, a new handbag, some earrings, something like that can freshen up your existing wardrobe as well.
100%. And then I want to talk about what do you do in terms of then actual tools and things. So that's great mindset. What would be the number one thing you would tell people that you have in your kit that would be applicable to their life?
Topstick.
What is Topstick, Sadia?
Topstick is what keeps your low plunging necklines in place, like J-Lo and that Versace dress, which drew everyone's attention to how in the hell is that dress staying in place. Topstick, wig tape. Wig tape is what it is. Topstick is a brand. Do not use the fashion tape. It just doesn't work. Anything that you want to stick down so, you know, things don't pop out of place. And that you can keep in your bag all the time. Just take a few strips, put it in your wallet. You can always have it in an emergency. And it works well, too. Like if your shoes are too big, you can tape. This is a fashion show trick. You can put Topstick in the sole of your shoe to keep your foot from flopping out, in the back of the heel to keep your shoe from coming off. So a few strips of Topstick in your purse. Couple of safety pins in your purse for just in case that button pops off or, you know, you rip a little something. Those are the best things and smaller things you can keep on your person every day with you.
I literally just did this the other day. I was at a wedding and I had this really fabulous Balmain blazer with some pants, with some beautiful pants from the other. Shout out to Nyla. And I tested it out at home. It was fine. The girls were staying in, but I forget how animated I am when I speak,
as you know.
And me, animated, gesticulating and moving around. So I was talking and the fit of the waist pulled the blazer up. So all of a sudden, Troy looks at me and he pulls it down and I was like, oh, I can't be me without having some wardrobe malfunctions. Luckily, I always have small safety pins and Topstick. So I just went to the restroom and just safety pinned that blazer down. And then I could still be me and look fab and the girls stayed in. So I can preach to these things being, or like I have clients that gape, if you're larger chested and you gape in the button in button down shirts, top stick is an amazing thing just to quickly stick in.
Yes.
So that way you don't gape. So those are two tools that we will link. And I think it's important. Both of us from experience can tell you that the fashion tape that you see at the CVS checkout aisle, or, you know, the things they try to get you to buy, that is so weak, it doesn't stay. So the wig tape or toupee tape is meant to literally hold something on someone's head without the wind blowing it off or having like a truly embarrassing moment. So use the industry stuff. So we will link that for you.
Yes.
We feel strongly about top stick.
Very strongly.
Who would have known? Sorry for the nerd session, everyone, and you're welcome. we're having dinner soon, and you know that'll be half of our conversation. So anyway, I digress. Moving on, you talked about backstage fashion week, tricks of the trade. Tell us about your other business outside of, you are a fashion stylist and you're CEO of a business called Behind the Rack. Tell us what the heck goes on behind stage at a fashion show. First, by setting the big scene of you walk in and like, what are the key players? And then where do you come in?
I am booked by the back of house production. So there's front of house production where all the guests come in and all the foo-foo-la that everyone sees when it's streamed. I am hired by the back of house production where all of the work is being done. And then I am matched with the designer. My relationships are with the production team and then the designer. When I come in the day of, I hope to walk into a backstage that has the rack set up with the collection set up in a way that will work for the flow of the show. That is my first assessment, is just to see it unpacked, number one, and number two, to check the flow and make sure that it's right. My greatest concern is always a quick change. I want my quick changes closer to the front. I don't care what number it is. I want it closer to the front so they can change quicker. And then
back up. Tell us what a quick change is. So for those that don't know, this is a runway show. So this is when you see the models going up and down the catwalk, and you may see that the models, you see them once, twice, three times in different clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Take it from there.
Quick change is anything that has 13 to 15 looks in between it. Anything less than that, that's praying for Jesus, because that's really quick. I've had a few.
Especially if it's a fast walk and a fast paced show. You're like, ooh.
Yes. You know, and the trick is, like, when I watch them rehearse, when they do shoe rehearsals, I actually sit with my watch and I time how much time goes between when the model goes down and when the next model goes out. Like, those things are important to me, if it's 30 seconds, 60 seconds. So if there's more than one girl on the runway, that's a pretty fast walk. If it's just one and then we wait and then one, that's a little slower. The music is also a factor. So I do watch the shoe rehearsals so I could see how fast it is. But I'm always more concerned that the people who have to dress quickly, like 1 to 20, are closer to the front. Someone who's 5 to 30, I don't need them up front. Even though she's number 5, I can push her further to the back because she has a lot more time in between. As the dressing team, we make or break the show. If we don't get everyone dressed on time, changed, we have about 30 seconds to a minute to change someone out of a full outfit. Spring is always great because it's like a dress and shoes, two pieces. The fall is a little more layered and accessorized and boots and that. And that can be crazy. One of the shows I just did, we had a quick change of 13 in between. We had them literally right outside of where they walk in and out. And I was walking backwards and to get her back in her spot, walking backwards and pinning and buttoning her at the same time until I got her to her spot. And then the dresser did the shoes. A lot of times I try to instill a lot of trust in my dressers, but there's just times I have to step in. I have to do it and let them finish up. I yell a lot I yell, get them in line. I'm saying it very nicely now. It's really from the bottom of my belly. I sound like an old man. Get them in line. Don't talk back to me. Do it now, that kind of stuff. But it's 10 minutes of crazy to make 10 minutes of beauty on the other side. And there's nothing else I'd rather do.
Well, and I think that's the thing to think about. Yours is 10 minutes coming in, but then you were there for multiple hours to study the collection, understand the styling. Let's reverse timeline that. The designer has been designing this collection for months and months and months and months, and their entire business oftentimes is contingent upon the success of this show. So this designer who needs to sell the garments going down the runway or needs to get a good review, or maybe it's a newer designer that is looking for their breakthrough and is investing most of what they have into this show, is trusting you and the people that you have hired to put the clothing on in the way that they visualize on time and get it down the runway. So when you see that shot on Vogue.com, style.com, the reviews, that it is executed beautifully and perfect. So it's when you back up and think about the hands that have touched it to get to you and the trust that they give you, it's kind of giving me chills right now.
Yeah. I develop what I call a fashion friendship with the designer because they have to trust me. Sometimes it's the first time they've ever had to work with me. And I have to present my company, my team, in a way that just by looking at me, they have to trust the 20, 25, 30 people I'm going to bring in with me. And then the care that I give to them that day, the attention to detail that I pay and that my team pays to just the one look. It could be one look they're responsible for, each dresser, or two looks, and just the care they give to the model. It might be a seasoned model who goes, I can do it myself. And it's like, well, I'm here to support you. We all have to do the same thing. It could be a girl, it's her first time and she's super nervous. So we have to nurture her to keep her from being nervous. You may have, a little one with a little bit of tube that day. My shoes are too big. It's like, it's okay, sweetie. We're going to make it happen. Like, we are almost like, for how you are in personal styling, to one person for a period of time, we are that safe place for a couple of hours and we may never see them again.
It truly is. Like, you're such a, when I did this, I remember that was such a big part of the role that I didn't think about, because truly you are that almost mediator and that support for a model who's also just come from another show, is bedraggled. There's so many things. And it's the dresser and then the dressing company to be that person saying, like, it's okay, we've got this, we're a team. And so that's where, yes, in that 10 minutes, there may be a lot of people yelling, screaming, it's all for the greater good. And then after, I remember my favorite part was the finale and the claps and just the hugs of like, mm-hmm. We did it. Like, we all did it together. It's just a euphoria that you can't describe.
I definitely have a position I take. It's a touchdown position. And as soon as the last model is dressed and online, I go from beast mode to touchdown position. And it's all good now. I did my part. I've gotten everybody out. They're in place. And the show went off without a hitch. It is the greatest feeling. And it's nice when your team steps in, or like, I'm the first person that comes in. And the production team is like, oh, it's you. Oh, my God. I'm so happy to see you. Or the security. Oh, my God. Hey, it's you. So good to see you. And the best feeling is when the models come in. They don't know my name. They know my face. They know what I do. And when they're like, oh, my God, it's so good to see you. And they give you hugs and kisses. And it really means that they can settle down now. They feel comfortable. They know that the show is going to go well and they're in good hands. And I think that is the best feeling in the world.
You're like that Maya Angelou quote. They may not remember what you said. They may not remember your name, but they remember how you made them feel. And so you can walk in and it can be a, whoo, sigh of relief.
Yes.
So speaking of your clients then, I want to hear some of the clients you worked with this last season, and I want to get into some of the things that you actually saw at New York Fashion Week that then the listeners can stay attuned for to know maybe how they can build their strategic shopping lists.
Yeah. So we dressed for Puma, Tommy Hilfiger, Ulla Johnson, Kate, Sergio Hudson, Laquan Smith, Falguni and Shane Peacock, and a new upcoming designer named Tiffany Brown. So we had some really, really cool shows. Ulla, Kate, Sergio, and Laquan have been clients for 4 or 5 years. Puma and Tommy Hilfiger were new. And Falguni is my second season with them. And Tiffany, it was my first. So we had a lot of firsts, one second, and our regular standard fashion family. So that was really cool.
Very cool. So what were some of them? There's so many trends out there now, I feel like. And for the listeners, one thing that Fashion Week can relate to you for is that it's predicting. So what we just showed this last Fashion Week is what is generally, and it's changed a little bit in the industry, but it's generally what's coming out next fall.
Fall, winter, yes.
So it's a good way to A, look at what's in stores now to know, is this going to be still a trend that we're going to see next fall? Or maybe is this just a micro trend and it's like, maybe it's not time, going back to what you said of investment and looking at what you're buying, that maybe I can say no to because it's just going to be totally out. So there's a few things that we keep seeing over and over that we've seen this season that's coming up. So what were some of those trends that you saw for our listeners to make smart buying decisions?
Definitely for fall, winter, there's always leather. In the spring, summer, it might be perforated and lighter, but there's always leather for fall, winter. So there was a lot of leather. There was a lot of denim. There was a push towards, a nod towards men's suiting again, which is still a trend that comes in and out. And my favorite one was the deep cherry oxblood maroon color, which I love for fall. For me, that is a neutral. It takes place of black and brown because it can be worn with everything. And it's very sophisticated depending on how deep or how close to the deep cherry it is. But that color was like almost everywhere in one level or another. So I'm very excited about that.
And it's in right now. And a really great thing you can think about is if you get it now, some styling is, as it comes to spring, you could style it with whites and pinks and do tonal so it could lighten it up.
Yes.
And then to your point, you can look for it in the fall and mix it with the chocolates and the blacks and grays and move it to fall. So it actually is a great neutral, pseudo neutral, that if it works for you and you love it, you can invest in, and it can create some, you know, diversity and options and versatility to your wardrobe.
Yeah. And even if you're not really sure about it in your clothing, to do it in a nice classic shoe or boot, to do it in a very simple purse, backpack, something like that. It just adds a pop to your fall out staples that you have. If you are a capsule wardrobe kind of a person, just pop in those colors and change your shoes, your accessories, your belt. That's really good too. And belts were big. Belted garments were big as well. And again, that doesn't work for everybody. Depending on your hip to waist ratio, you know, depending on your body shape, and you know this, belts don't always work on everyone, but they were really popular, and waist cinching for a silhouette, for fall, winter.
So if belts do work for you, this is the time to say, okay, I haven't been able to find belts that worked for me, and I've been looking. Light bulb moment. That's where our strategy comes in of saying, oh, belts are going to be everywhere. So if I've had struggles, because it was for a while more about the looser clothes, oversized, fewer belts, now you know that it's most likely you're going to see more in the store. So if that's been on your list, it is the time to invest in belts, because inevitably there's going to be a time that maybe you don't have as many options. I think it's also important to note that there are some things that Sadia said. It's like, we get fed that such and such is such on trend. Leather is always in. Like, there are certain things.
Leather, denim.
It's always in. So it's like, if you see this stuff of, oh, this is on trend, you must buy it now, I'm sorry. It's always on trend.
Right. All trends come back around in the same season. They just are a new iteration. Sometimes they skip a little bit, but it's just done in a different form. And you can always dig back in your closet if you have established a nice wardrobe and pull out something that is similar to. You don't have to have exactly the same thing that is on the runway. It can be similar, akin, adjacent to, and you can wear the trend.
And then maybe you do one thing where it's an update, like you said, as an accessory, or maybe you change that denim silhouette, but you still pair it with the oxblood sweater that you've had in your closet for years. So you don't need to totally buy the whole new head-to-toe outfit. You can pick one iteration of a direction we're going in and integrate it.
Right. Definitely.
So for you then, let's say that, let's go to my ultimate question to kind of wrap us up of, if you were choosing your ultimate wear who you are outfit, or designer type of style, and you could be anywhere, go anywhere, do anything, walk us through what that Sadia would be and what she would be wearing.
Sadia Seymour would wear Ula Johnson all day, all year, and she would be on an island. She would be traveling wherever, and that's my look. It's a global, chic, very carefree, but it's patterns, it's texture, it's fitted, it's loose. It's like I'm her girl. I'm her girl.
It's playful and it's practical. It's usually cottons. And so in terms of when you're looking, again, we talked about fast fashion, construction quality. Ula Johnson typically uses all cotton. So it's breathable. It helps it be all season. It helps it last. You can launder it. I love this idea. I feel like we need to go somewhere and just have you and Ula Johnson and be sipping a pina colada together.
I should be there all the time. I should only fly home for work. That's where I should be.
We'll put that out there. The wear who you are and live how you want to live. Live exactly. Who you are, right?
Yes. My city girl self would be a combination between Kate and Sergio. That's who my city girl would be. But when I get to leave New York, I'd be Ula all day.
Ula all day, day. Mm-hmm. And what do you like then, just so people are introduced to designers they may not know, what about Sergio and what about Kate speak to you?
Kate is very chic and simple. Her styles are classic. Her fabrics are classic as well. She's a leather, but she's fun. There's a fur coat she does. There's a fur she does every year. I love that fur faux. I don't know if it's real or not. Don't hate me. I just love it. Her hardware is everything. I'm a super fan of really great hardware, zipper pulls, snaps, things like that. But they're classic. They're clean. They're not fussy. And her shoes and her bags are beautiful. Like, you can be head to toe in her all day. I've already peeped. I did market for her. I've peeped shoes that I want that I will stalk. I will get them. I love them so. And for Sergio, he accentuates and loves women. He actually designs for the women's shape, for their figures. Like, he adores us. And he designs for us. So they're always figure flattering. His suits, his dresses, his two pieces. When you want to feel girly and be in your feminine power, like, Sergio Hudson is who you want to wear.
I'm a huge fan of Sergio. And there's a brightness and like joy to it too. I love the colors. I love.
It's so him. Like, you have to know him to know that it is him coming out in clothes. Like, I call him my fashion cousin. Like, that's my fashion family. Like, his joy, who he is, comes out through his clothes.
I love hearing that. That's a kind of insider thing that we don't have to name names besides the positive things like Sergio. But It was interesting having worked backstage, and you start to build a relationship with the clothing of the designer by knowing who the designer is and how they carry themselves. And if they are truly reflected in what you see. I have to say, there's sometimes I love clothes more, and there is sometimes that I have sworn off certain designers because I like supporting people who truly love their clients and are their clients and are kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely have matched the designers like Laquan. Laquan is sexy as all get out. Even in the state that the body of mine is in that I love, there are certain things I can wear that's Laquan, but there's some aspirational stuff where it's just like, damn, I'm going to be sexy if I put that stuff on. And that's him. That is him. There is a vibe. There is a sexiness of him as a man that comes through in how he designs for women. It's just, it is fascinating when you meet the designer and see the clothes and how it translates. It's amazing.
It's really cool. And it's a really, I think, further way, just as you're shopping, to even look at these designers and see like who would I want to be around a table with and have their energy or, mm-hmm. you know, what is their story? Because all those clothing, the pieces you put on came from an inspiration from somebody's brain and from who they are and their journey too, which is all about what Wear Who You Are is. So yes. Thank you, Sadia, for sharing this. I think that we're going to have to do, you know, fashion week trend reports and updates regularly if you're open to coming back. I think it's so useful. It's so useful for all of us. And it's just another excuse for me to get to see you and hang out, which, you know, selfishly, I'm always down for. So for our listeners, as you start looking for inspiration from runway shows, trend lists, and more, don't forget that trends are simply what's presented to you. And you can make the decision on which ones connect to who you are and will have staying power in your closet. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Thanks for joining another Wear Who You Are Wednesday. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Be sure to follow along for episode news, updates, and other bonus style insights on Instagram through my business account at BUStyle. That's the letters B, U, and Style. Or my personal account at Natalie_Tincture. And don't forget to subscribe to Wear Who You Are wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks again. See you next time.